In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is our stewardship month here at the church, and if you read the materials that were sent out, you know that the theme for this year is glory, gratitude, and generosity. And last week, in fact, we did speak on the subject of glory. And when we talked about glory, it means, of course, praising God. He is so wonderful that there are not even words to describe how wonderful He is. And now we come to the subject of gratitude, this attitude of thankfulness, of appreciating where things come from, of giving credit where credit is due, which is to say, all of our gifts come from God Himself. And if we want to understand what gratitude is, perhaps one of the ways to understand it is to understand what it is not. In fact, this morning's gospel reading describes the exact opposite of gratitude when we hear the parable of the rich fool. This man who had so many crops and so much abundance that he decided he needed to pull down his barns and build bigger ones. He never stopped to think that the goods he'd received were from God Himself. God had given him the strength and the resources and the means to grow these crops. And so he never even thought that he might want to share them with others. He is the opposite of someone filled with gratitude. He's, in fact, a rather stingy, short-sighted person. Well, what does gratitude look like? Well, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians this morning, this short seven-verse pericope from there, kind of describes what gratitude seems like, doesn't it? He says, "Behold, I, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love." That's what gratitude looks like. Lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another in love. That's the spirit of gratitude. And I think it's marvelous that right now at the beginning of Christmas Lent, the church actually gives us these two passages, one from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, one from the Gospel according to St. Luke, and says, which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be 6 weeks from now when we gather here to celebrate the nativity of our Lord? Do we want to be the rich fool and have that worldview of stinginess and ungratefulness, or do we want to have the heart of St. Paul, who is concerned that people fulfill the call that has been given them, who is concerned that we live that spirit of lowliness and meekness and patience and bearing one another? Now, the answer to this question, which one do you want to be, which one do I want to be December 25th, is really best answered with another question, and it's this. For the next 6 weeks, are we willing to accept the challenge of living the life of the church? Because if you and I commit to living the life of the church for the next 6 weeks, there is no question whose heart we will resemble. It will not resemble the rich fool's heart. It will resemble that heart of St. Paul. If we live the life of the church for the next 6 weeks, we will absolutely reject the stinginess and the really awful character of that rich fool. We have no choice than to do otherwise. Because what is set before us as to how we are to live out the Christmas fast will change our hearts. Now, when I'm talking about two very specific acts. One is fasting. Now, we know that the Christmas fast is a little bit relaxed. There are days before December 12th where we are allowed to eat fish. But it is a fast nonetheless, and if you want to follow it exactly, just get one of our church calendars or go on the internet and go to the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese website. You know how to follow the fast. But one thing that you and I perhaps don't think about enough, I know I don't, I reread this recently, is when we talk about fasting and all of the good reasons for fasting, and there are many, that one of the best is it cultivates obedience. Obedience. Because when I fast, it means I have to eat the way the church tells me to eat, not the way I want to. And if I can be obedient in those matters, then I can be obedient in other matters when it comes to following God's commandments, following those rules that lead to abundant life that have been set before me by the Lord himself in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and by the life of the church. In fact, Orthodox Christians are quick to point out that fasting is really the first commandment, because this is exactly what happened in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were given very specific instructions about what not to eat. And yet they violated that commandment. So when you and I engage in fasting, we are actually doing something that works to undo, by the grace of God, that works to undo the original curse upon humanity because of our fundamental and essential disobedience to God. Now, fasting is not just about what we eat, but how we eat. And if we are going to get the most out of the Christmas fast, then we should eat simply. Eat less. Yes, consult your doctor before you fast. We don't want anyone getting sick. But really do try to fast. For 6 weeks, I think we can all agree that cheese pizza has dairy on it and is not part of the fast. And if there's anyone here that cannot live for 6 weeks without a cheese pizza, please see me. Matter of fact, I would venture to say that your cardiologist will thank you if you forego the cheese pizza. And if we commit to fasting for the next 6 weeks, it will change us. Fasting necessarily changes us. It changes our bodies, and then by extension, it changes our heart, and then it ends up changing our entire being. It does. And those of us who have fasted in the past know how true this is. Now, this is the season of Christmas parties, obviously. It's the season of Thanksgiving, obviously. But when we're home, we can eat however we please. Yes, you might have to go to a company Christmas party and there's this large spread of food before you. Well, fine. But we have absolute control, you and I, over what we buy at the grocery store and what we make in our own homes. So the fact that there are a few Christmas parties is not an excuse for not following the fast. Nor is Thanksgiving. I think all of us agree that in America, the fast is relaxed for those days as we observe this national holiday. But you're talking Thanksgiving and maybe two or three Christmas parties, 3 days out of 40. The Christmas fast is not as ancient as the fast before Pascha. We all know this. But I think I really understand why the church felt compelled to add this fast, because just one major fast throughout the year really is not enough to reboot our souls. If my goal is to become more obedient to God, and in many ways, fasting is like a radical infusion of obedience, I need that more than once a year. So I really am grateful that the church has added this second fast. Years ago, not here at Holy Trinity, I had a very well-intentioned lifelong Orthodox Christian say to me, "Where did this Christmas fast come from? Who came up with that? When did that start?" And obviously it started more than 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 1,000 years ago. But the fact that that lifelong Orthodox Christian didn't know about the Christmas fast probably explains why so many of us we'll reach December 25th, and we're going to feel a little bit out of sorts. Instead of anticipating the birth of our Lord with great joy and anticipation, we'll feel kind of blah and out of it. And it's probably because we spent a little bit too much time before Christmas eating, drinking, and making merry. And that's the consequence. Now the other components to arriving at December 25th, making sure that we have the heart of St. Paul and not the heart of the rich fool, is confession. And in discussing confession, it's useful here to refer to another rich fool, a rich fool greatly loved by fanciers of English literature, and that rich fool is Ebenezer Scrooge. And a big part of the holiday season is watching or reading or listening to one version of A Christmas Carol or another. I think I've shared with you in the past, our family's personal favorite is The Muppets Christmas Carol. And we all know that Ebenezer Scrooge is visited one evening by three spirits who confront him with the basic question, really, which Ebenezer does he want to end up being? The Ebenezer he is on the night he's encountered by these spirits, which is to say alienated from humanity, bitter and selfish, or a new Ebenezer, guided by compassion, mercy, and generosity. He really is confronted with these questions. What could have been in your life if things had been different? Where are you now in your life, and where are you headed? And I think there's a reason that this story resonates so much with humanity, particularly the older we get. Because this experience of being visited in the night with our regrets and our remorse, with our could-haves and should-haves and would-haves, is not just something for Ebenezer. All of us will go through it as adults. All of us. All of us will wake up at 3 in the morning and think about something that we did when we were 16 or 18 or 23 or 35 and know that it was the wrong thing to do. And left to our own devices, what happens is the devil starts to play with that a little bit, and he can really get us feeling as though we are the most awful person who's ever been created. But those 3 a.m. wake-ups, all that is God leading us to repentance. God leading us to repentance. In many ways, he's starting to prepare us for our own departure from this world, because when we depart from this life, we're going to have to answer for everything that we've done. So since we can agree that you and I will have to account for our misdeeds sooner or later, why not do it sooner? And so if you find yourself in that boat of having regrets and remorse over past sins, then go see someone for confession. It doesn't have to be me, it can be another priest. I had a discussion recently with somebody who said, and this again was a lifelong Orthodox Christian, I'm not picking on this person, a very kind person. The person said, I can just confess those things to God. I said, no, you can't. Tried it. I've played that self-delusional game before, you can't. You have to go to a priest and name them and get them out in the open and be free of them once and for all. So that at 3 a.m. when you wake up and you look at the clock, you can just say a quiet prayer and go back to sleep so those things will never bother you again. And I can pretty much guarantee, no, in fact I can guarantee, that if we agree to spend the next 6 weeks eating simply, trying to follow the fast, not overeating, and then also finding time to make an honest, well-prepared, heartfelt confession, that by the time December 25th, 2018 reaches us, we'll find ourselves to have been changed. And not just changed temporarily, but changed forever. Now, to return very quickly to the subject of stewardship before wrapping up, this fits perfectly with stewardship because once you and I are changed, once you and I are filled with that heart that is grateful for what God has given us, well, we want to share that with others. And it is the church that enables us to share that with others. So we want our church to be as strong as possible because once we figure out how wonderful life is when it is a life of simplicity and repentance, we say, other people need to hear about this. How can we do that? And the way that happens is when the church is strong, when the church is able to carry out her ministry, when the church is able to bring the good news out into the fallen world. So we began this morning by asking the very simple question, who is it that we want to be December 25th? I will tell you by the grace of God, I'm trying very hard in my life not to be the rich fool. I don't want to reach this December 25th with the heart of the rich fool. I want the heart of St. Paul. I want his perspective on life. And I want that perspective, quite frankly, because I know it will bring peace in my own life, it will bring a joy, it will prepare me for eternal life. And so, I want to do what St. Paul tells us to do. I want to live a life worthy of the calling to which I have been called. My calling as a priest, my calling as a Christian. I want a life filled with liberation. Liberation that comes when we observe the fast and we actually become free of our love of food. Liberation that comes from a pure and well-prepared and heartfelt confession. If we do these things, dear brothers and sisters, we will reach December 25th filled with gratitude for our Lord. Gratitude for the things he has done for us. Gratitude for the new life that he's offered us. We will be prepared to really celebrate the nativity of our Lord because we'll recognize more than ever how much he came to save us and how right now, he is offering that gift of salvation to you and me by simply living the life of the church.